Oh, you edit the show?
Yeah. Well, half of them. We take turns. Oh, okay. Torn edited the first year or so and then got a real job. And I've been avoiding that. So I have the time. So I edit about half the shows these days since the first year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave is our editor.
I edit all the shows, which means I do absolutely no editing.
Except run it through Audacity or for...
Well, I just do noise removal.
Truncate silence,
yeah. No, it's a lot more.
And then
more.
Compress it all.
Guys, if we could just truncate our silence.
And then compress
ourselves.
It, and then it's done.
I know. I go through and remove ums and ahs, and if things don't make sense and I can fix them, then I'll fix that. If we're wrong, that goes away, and I'll put in something maybe that's right there. Yeah.
And all There's you got to show for it edited. Is success.
And all we have to show for it are being nominated for Best Produced on the Podcast Awards 3 years in a row. That's it.
Good.
And Best Education, but we haven't won either. But 3 years in a row. Soon, somebody famous is going to figure out and go, oh, these guys are good. And then we'll be able to make money. Would that be nice?
Would you want to go like on an Earwolf or one of those networks? Or are you happy with
that? I'm not interested in networks. Mm-hmm. I'm a web designer by trade. Are we recording?
Nope.
No.
Should we be?
I don't know. We could talk about this. I'm a web designer by trade. It's what I do for a living.
We are recording.
Okay. Good.
It's fine.
We haven't introduced the show, but okay.
I do web stuff for a living, and I'm very involved in, or I'm very well steeped in that, the whole Creative Commons and sharing and watching out for production companies when you don't really need them. Like, what does Caustic Soda need with a network? Like, it just means that we get free advertising from people who are on the network as well. So what? I'd rather make a better show and have people talk about it and get the social networking going because we're good rather than because we've struck deals.
I think people like it because they feel out in the cold and alone and scared.
I love
it.
And
so you're with other groups that are there. Hey, guys, why don't I start this show off?
Okay.
I think we should.
Everybody. My name is Ian Boothby, and I do a show called Sneaky Dragon. I hope you can tune into it someday. We're doing that one today. All right. We do a couple of shows now. It's getting confusing to me. Anyway, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby. We have with us, as always, my co-host, David Dedrick.
Hello.
That's court obligated. David Dedrick is here. We've tried to get him off the show for a couple of, but again, the court keeps saying this is part of your community service work.
That's right.
And so you have to legally be here.
Hence my orange jumpsuit.
That's right. But you cannot be 50 feet close to any of our guests, which is why our guest is 50 feet away from you.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. You know, you can actually come close to me. I'm fine. I've cleared the thing.
Okay.
But until Dave gets his permanent resident card, it's all connected.
Right.
We have from the Caustic Soda show. That's what you call it. That's the full name.
Caustic Soda Podcast. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. We're going to be that. All right. It's a pod. You know, that seems weird. Do you
I
have
know.
To call it like the Breaking Bad TV show? No, you just call it Breaking Bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Caustic Soda, for sure.
That's what you do.
And it is a podcast, I guess. So
anyway, this is Joe Fulgham.
Hi.
Here. There we go. All right. And I got your name right? And
yeah.
So all my worries are now so far away.
All right.
As they said
offending
in the song.
Offending me, deeply
yesterday.
Wounding me emotionally, doesn't matter as long as you got my name right.
We got the name right, and I'm sorry for hacking on you for calling thing podcast. Anyway, it's fine. Like, I actually feel weird saying podcast now because I feel like people will listen to these in the future and the word podcast will just be a silly thing.
They'll be like, how quaint.
They'll just be like, why are you using the word podcast? Why are you doing that? It'll seem ridiculous.
You think so, really?
Yeah, I think it's like the word blog. When people go, I've got a blog now, you're just like, shut up. Just tell me you got like something online. You got a blog. Just quiet.
I don't feel that way
Settle
about
down.
It. I don't feel that way about
blog,
it. It describes the thing. It describes... It's just like, do you think someone in the 1940s was saying, I feel uncomfortable calling it a radio show? Because I know, like, in 50 years, people are not going to be calling it radio anymore. Yes, they will, because it's a radio show.
Okay, well, technically...
But do they call it the Larry and Willie radio show? It's just Larry and Willie.
It is. They just call it Larry and Willie. You see, Okay, here's the thing. You do not listen to it on your podcast, right? You do not listen to it on your podcast, but you would listen to a radio show on your radio. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I watch a TV show on my TV. Correct. I listen to a podcast on my... Anything. Like all these different devices. So if you don't listen to a podcast on a podcast, so that logical flow, it does not work. So that's what I'm saying. You will listen to it on whatever the next thing is. So just settle down, everybody.
Okay.
This is what it is. Embrace it.
Daddy,
anyway.
I'm
telling our guests to shut the hell up. Anyway, sorry, Joe.
Daddy, didn't Caustic Soda get beamed directly into your brain like today?
Yeah, I know those podcast. Images! The images!
That sounds terrible.
So many eels.
Yeah.
Why? Oh.
That would be one of the most horrible inventions ever made, would be beaming...
Yeah, I think that's how supervillains actually mentally attack people in comic books, is just by beaming caustic soda into their brain, and that's how you pass out unconscious.
Isn't that pretty much what it is, though? If I say something to you, Dave, elephant, I've just put elephant in your head.
Yes, you have.
Like, immediately. So we'd already do that.
Now I'm thinking of the Gus Van Sant film.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
The whole film?
I'm thinking of it all, yes.
Okay, not just a highlight reel.
Not just the highlights of it. The entire film, right from the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, this is where our show differs from yours. Yeah. Is that you put in effort. Like I've been on your show. It was a real treat. But you went over things. You sent memos out.
Yeah.
You discussed things. And that's why your show is successful.
Thank you. I guess so. Yeah.
We not researched. Just effort. I'm sure other people are putting in effort and they're not having success. But you are... You are having both.
We actually have, we have a format. So we pick a topic every episode, usually something weird or gross. Or if it's not, we pick the weird or gross side to it. I like to bring up it's in our first season, our food episode. So we have a food episode. That's not weird or gross unless you talk about Kopi Luwak, which is the cat shit coffee, or the Greenland shark, which has full of so much urea acid that it tastes like urine. So in order to get around that, they bury it in a pit for a month and then dig it up, fed it, and it's better. I don't understand. Kasumarzu is a cheese that's full of live maggots. And some people eat it in a sandwich with the maggots crawling live. And when you do that, you have to hold your hand up in front of your eyes because sometimes they'll try to leap for safety and they are strong enough to chew through your eye.
That must be such a good tasting sandwich.
Yeah. It must be.
It must be. Must or be. It must have that thing. You know, there's that thing that sometimes get into a mouse that, you know, where the mouse then loses its sense of survival and then like runs into a cat's mouth. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It must be that kind of thing. Like there's something in those maggots that go like, you must keep eating me. You must. And it's like, yes. And then the maggot's plan is, haha, stupid. When you get close enough, I'm making my way in and the tables are turned, Jack.
That's right. I don't think anybody's died from it, but bad news. Most people will kill them first by putting it in a paper bag and just holding it, like rolling it shut for a while. And apparently they try to leap for safety when that happens and they start suffocating and they pop against the side like popcorn.
Wow.
And you know it's safe to eat because the popping stops.
So like a grilled cheese sandwich just doesn't work for these folks.
No, wow. I guess not.
Well, the thing about eating it is everyone looks like they died. You just wouldn't be able to tell that everyone's covered with maggots.
You would just turn green from eating maggots, I would
think. That is true. Now, who's the first one in your group to go like, let's gross out the world?
Torin.
Yeah?
100% absolutely Torin.
He's that kid.
Torin's the weird kid who loves the gross stuff and is an H.P. Lovecraft maniac. He absolutely wanted to talk about the weird and the disturbing and the gross, for sure. I like that, so that's good, but it's his thing.
I couldn't even look at the Garbage Pail Kids stickers when I was a kid. My wife just came into the room, didn't she?
She did.
That wasn't a ghost.
Okay. Hi.
Bye, I love you, see ya. She had to get her debit card, which I was using earlier today. I didn't want to fake like nothing was going on, folks. It's hers. Are you talking to me?
Yeah,
a leech. Yeah, it's pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, I got into the marriage for the money. But no, I couldn't even like look at those Garbage Pail cards. Sugar they would mama. Just gross me out too
I was
much.
Ridiculously queasy when I was a kid. Actually, the sight of blood would make me get kind of faint when I was younger. And I actually, when I was about 17, said, enough of this, I'm embarrassed about it, and started forcing myself to watch like open heart surgery things on TV.
Oh, I started cutting yourself.
No.
Like, he was the uninvited guest in the operating theater.
Thankfully, I was a relatively happy little wimp, so no, I wasn't cutting. But just force myself, you know, you'd be flipping through the channels and that you'd get through to that like operation show on PBS and I'd freak out and I'd just make myself stay and watch it. And I just forced myself to get over it. And now nothing really gets to me anymore. Like, or not like that.
Yeah.
I can feel like I should feel bad, but caustic soda has inured me to so much.
I admire your stomachs. Like when I listen to the show, I've got to like prepare. I'm like, I can't be eating in the next couple of minutes. I can't be like on a bus where I'm going, like I got to be somewhere where I can actually like be sitting down and have some salt crackers there and some soda water. And I'm okay. I'm going to be all right.
We have listeners proudly tell us that the horrible things have happened to them while listening to the show. One of our listeners was listening to our tuberculosis episode on the podcast and got to a really disgusting description of what happens when you get it. And he passed out on the bus. He was like sitting down and listening, and next thing he knew, he was lying on the bus floor, and people were looking down at him, asking him if he was okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's when I started making caustic soda achievements. Achievement unlocked. And yeah. I think the title of that achievement was Things Man Was Not Meant to Know. Cause one of your listeners to pass out just from listening.
Your brain just goes, nope, click, off, down.
H.P. Lovecraft was right.
It's funny, I'm on the opposite side of that. I'm totally a nerd to that sort of thing. I don't throw up when someone else vomits, and I actually enjoy watching the blood fill the vial when I get a blood test.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting one of those shortly. And
I think it's kind of interesting to watch the blood slowly fill the tube, and then the other one gets popped on, and it slowly...
I like when they
shift. I have a lot of blood in
me. I like when they trade off the vials. Yeah. That's kind of fun.
That's fun.
And I'm like, oh, that's... You got to have a good smooth hand for that.
The first bit is that spurt. Like, because you, and then it fills up nice and like you'd see in a video game, just the level goes up, but the first bit goes quick.
Yeah, I really, ugh. I enjoy that. But it's funny, I'm not really a person who enjoys gross out humor or gross out things. I guess it doesn't really, I guess because it doesn't shock me and I'm not horrified by it, so there's nothing for me to react to in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not overcoming something, I'm not going, this is so terrible, it's kind of funny.
It'd be funny, like, if you're filling out those vials, and then you had one gag vial that you just filled with, like, a bunch of green jello, and just like, yeah, everything was fine up until this point. Anyway, listen, don't bleed more than this amount, because then it would be bad. That's my advice to you. What? Okay, bye.
Because you can say, you know, we got all the gangrene out, I think. We didn't realize it was there, but...
It's almost strange to me when I go to those medical places, you got the little cabinet full of the urine, and it's like, put your urine into this.
Really?
Like the little, open up your, you know, whatever, the thing, and you put your urine in there. And there's a couple of other urines in there.
Oh,
just
right,
it seems like I shouldn't have access to that. That doesn't seem right at all.
I've never experienced that.
No, I think that's one of those, there should be like a something I throw it into that it takes it away. I shouldn't be able to like
some kind of
now alter theirs if I felt like it.
Some kind of One Direction Lazy Susan that empties out on the other side.
Are you saying like based on the band One Direction?
Yes. Okay. They should be used to take urine for sure, because that would be a good use for them, I guess. Am I dissing them? I've never heard them. I don't hate them.
No,
whatever.
It's fine. No, Dave's a big fan.
Oh, okay.
Giant fan.
He's been to how many of their concerts now?
I've been to one of their concerts.
Now, is it their music you like, or is it because they're dreamy?
It's more that I was outside the concert picking up my daughter. I don't want to get the wrong impression that I actually saw them, because I didn't.
Okay.
I did watch their...
I just stayed by the stage
I watched
door,
their tour movie.
Out of the way.
I watched their tour film with my
in
daughter.
In 3D?
No, we just watched it at home on home video.
I have a hard time like hating all these pretty boy bands Justin Bieber, because I never get subjected to them. I don't listen to Top 40 radio.
Also, as three very handsome men, we've had to deal with this when we were younger.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, we know what they're going through.
My life was like a Hard Day's Night every day when I was growing
Because you had that disease where your skin was black and white.
That's right. Yes. That
but
was
it didn't
the problem
matter
that I had.
If you're black or white.
No.
Oh, wait, that was later.
Later on. No, it was fine. It just matters if you use like a really intense anesthetic to put yourself to sleep. That does matter, but your race not as much.
Right, right.
Your method of going to sleep every night, if you have an anesthesiologist doing it, that matters.
Yes.
But that song never got finished.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The song never got finished?
Yeah, the song about anesthesiologists and how much you should have every night. The dangers of not just going to goddamn sleep. Yeah, don't be doing that.
Okay.
Hey, fellas, speaking of needles, let me just get this out of the way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people here who don't like hearing needle stories. So this is going to be the last needle story I'm going to throw
out. Who are the people here who don't like hearing needle stories?
Okay.
The people who are out there listening who are walking down the street right now and are passing out. You know?
Maybe they need to hear less needle stories.
Maybe they need to hear more needle stories.
But this is my good news of the day, and I wanted to spread it with you.
Okay.
And it's not the word
of
Jesus Christ.
Please spread it with
us. Okay.
What's the good news?
Yeah. About four years ago, I went through a bad period and started to go blind in my eye.
I remember that.
And and it was a lot of stress mixed with high blood pressure that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And and then I had like a bad incident
where
I thought I lost my
cat,
and it was really horrible. And then the next day I went, oh, this is not, my eye's weird and my other eye's weird. And so I went to, and long story short, I ended up having to get an injection in my eye. Which is like EC Comics creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I didn't know that this kind of thing existed, and it turns out it's standard and da da da.
Mm-hmm.
So every year after that,
it's a giant robot.
Yeah.
That cradles you in its arms.
That's right.
And then with its giant metal claw, puts a needle right into your eyeball.
Right.
While you have these calipers that keep your eye open.
That's right.
Well, another robot squirts liquid into your eye.
That's, yes.
And this needle slowly pierces
Yeah.
The outside of the eye and then goes inside.
And
into
there's a witch off to the side making puns about it. Get the point? Yeah, that. That's what basically the situation is.
We've got our eye on you.
That's the Canadian healthcare system, yeah. Folks. If you don't like it, go somewhere else.
He was creating a little story. That's almost literally what happened when I got my laser eye surgery.
Oh, we can talk laser eye surgery after. Oh, yeah. We can do that. I've had laser eye surgery, so like I'm fine with that. Okay. But this was new.
Okay.
Because it was the guy going like, this won't hurt a bit. Okay, you're lying while it's happening. And I lashed out with my arm and like socked him in the gut. Anyway,
wow.
So every couple of months I've had to go back, and then now every couple of years go back.
Yeah.
And as of today, and every time it's like, you might need the needle again. I'm like, oh, so it's a bad week before going up.
Which, of course, increases your blood pressure.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So today was the day that
you
I found out
you just need a fluoride treatment.
That's right. So if I just brush my eyes with toothpaste every night, I'll be fine.
No
I
deal.
Just got to get those whites their whitest.
Well, that's...
All right. So here's the good news is I am now officially 100% recovered.
Okay,
I am
good.
Not going blind anymore as of today.
Yay.
But up to this point, I was possibly going blind.
That's good news.
So hooray. It's good to see you, fellas. But I've had those drops, so everything's haloing around me right now. I see you as Master Chief. I see you as the other character from Halo.
I get that joke.
I can be Cortana.
It's old enough.
That means I'm sexy.
I hope you get over that virus. I hope things work out for you.
Yeah, you know,
I'll
McAfee
just be over here walking
me
into the wall awkwardly and then moving sideways along it because I can't quite figure out which arrow to push to turn. Because and then I somehow hit the wrong thing and then I'm suddenly seeing it from point of view rather than see the character. And I have no idea what's happening because I can't
just grab the needler, Dave. Grab the needler.
Who's the needler?
Get on the Warthog.
Warthog.
Needler on the Warthog. Needler on the Warthog. Okay, Joe.
Help.
Yeah.
You've had laser surgery.
Yeah.
As have I.
Yeah.
Meaning, and Dave has glasses, so let's laugh at this four eyes over here. Let me laugh at Mr. Chicken Pants. Doesn't like to get lasers in his eyes. Doesn't like to get his eyes cut open, huh?
It's a little thing called poverty.
Oh, sorry.
That I can totally understand.
No, we do understand that. I apologize.
Well, honestly, one of the best things I've done. My eyesight was terrible.
Me too.
I would wake up and the whole world would be blurry. I think... -8.5 and -8 in one eye and -8 in the other eye. So just hard time seeing anything really aside from big blurry shapes. And I hated my glasses. They were heavy on my nose.
Yep.
Contact lenses worked okay.
Well, those concrete glasses that were so fashionable in the 90s.
Or the 80s before they had the thinner lens technology. And I was wearing huge Coke bottles.
Okay, yeah, right? I'd have that too where it's like I'd get the bloody little things on my nose where it'd just be too much pressure.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And did you ever have this where you get like someone goes, can I try your glasses on? And they try it on. Hey, man, you're blind.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And like other people have said this, but no one goes like, hey, let me try your wheelchair. Hey, man, you're totally crippled. Whoa, your spine doesn't work at all. What? Yeah, but no, they feel fine doing it with glasses.
That's because the person in the wheelchair is then laying on the ground in a fetal position.
Well, I'm like, got my glasses off, and I'm doing it on the floor.
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So fantastic. Like, I forget how good it was until we have these conversations and people talk about their glasses. The only regret I have is that basically the year after I got my eye surgery, cool glasses made their appearance.
That's true.
Like the thin frames, they became like hipstery to wear really cool thin frames. And because they were these smaller frames, the glasses weren't so thick. So like, I basically avoided the ability to have those cool frames unless I was faking it.
Yeah.
I don't.
That feels
and also you guys look a lot less smart. I don't want to say very much, but that's all I'm going to say. You guys don't look that smart.
Compared to me. Real Poindexters.
So I got my glasses. I can push my glasses up onto the bridge of my nose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A sign of smartness. And also it's a great, if you have a problem in a conversation where someone asks you a question you don't know the answer to, you have that moment of pause where you push your glasses up. Very important you do that.
Yeah.
You push it up. Then you have a moment to come up with that answer. That's still wrong.
These days I pull up my cell phone and just look up the answer.
That's a good point.
And I don't worry that I was ignorant of something. I go, oh, that's cool. I didn't know. Now I'm going to find out. Oh, now I know.
Whenever I see like those,
they jump onto that smartphone revolution.
That Google Glass thing, I always think, they must have, you must be able to, like, with those in the future.
What's Google Glass? Is it glasses that have a projected image?
Yeah.
A little monitor on the side. But I'm just thinking, like, well, the technology for this must be in the future that it will just adjust your glasses to whatever you need.
It's going to be in your eye. That's the next thing. My ophthalmologist was telling me this, that what they're working on now is to have lenses that can automatically focus in your eyes. So they will focus, so you won't need glasses, you won't need laser eye surgery, you'll have these implanted into your...
There's a new ring that they're talking about now that they implant that I think tightens... Now we're just getting into science. Is that what we talk about? That just tightens your cornea so that it bends it so that it's in the shape it's supposed to be.
Okay.
I don't know how successful that is, but...
Would that work for... I don't really understand. Like, I have an astigmatism.
Yeah.
So I can't see very well, and I bleed from my palms. So, which I think I know is because the cornea is you know, misshapen.
Right.
And so, you know, I have different magnifications in different parts of my lenses. So
right,
if
yeah.
I'm looking this way, it's one magnification. If I'm looking the other way, it's a different magnification.
Yeah.
And so I can see in that case, it would, you know, the ring would work. So that but would it work for nearsighted?
So
or
it would tighten or loosen automatically based on, oh, maybe.
I don't know. Like,
would you be able to use it to get better vision than normal?
I'm just hoping for x-ray vision so
maybe.
I can see inside women's pants.
I'm thinking they'll just basically do what you've, like miniature versions of what Special Forces guys have now, which is basically you've got a setup that's got a camera on it that's amazingly high res, mm-hmm. and then you're just looking at a screen that's showing what the camera shows. And the camera can zoom in or zoom out
yeah.
or look at anything, so it doesn't matter how good your eye can see, your eye just has to see something on the screen in front
that
of
totally
you.
That totally makes sense. And if you want to see inside women's pants, Dave, there's a thing called the internet. I think
I've got to get onto that internet revolution.
You do get
it's
that inserted into your eye holes there. Get your
my what?
Your eye holes.
Is that some sort of mockery of my glasses having the holes where the lenses go? Is that I don't quite understand.
Oh no, you don't understand.
No,
oh, it's strange. You look smart.
So when you got your laser eye surgery, did they give you Ativan so that you wouldn't get nervous?
They gave me Valium. And
oh,
they gave
wow.
me something else as well.
Okay.
And I went like,
a 1961
man,
Valiant.
That's right. When I took it, I don't really take any drugs.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I could get used to this. This is all right.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing? Yeah, peel that eye back. Sure. And
yeah.
they're like, don't move your eye at all. Whatever.
Yeah, like.
But if they do, it'll stop. Like the machine will stop.
That
you
sounds
can,
like a great
You
way
can
to live.
Literally smell the laser
yes.
burning away your eye and
yes.
it smells like burned hair. And you're
yeah.
like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah,
because,
you are. You're like,
because you're on anti-anxiety right. drugs.
Yeah.
It's actually so terrible, like a thing that you're like way beyond, you know, just like,
you don't care.
It's kind of interesting. It's like if someone
you experimentally
was
experimentally chop off your leg.
Well, it is. It's kind of like if someone was cutting your leg off,
yes.
but you were prepared that you're going to be replaced by a better bionic leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be like,
yeah. All right, get
okay.
the thing
but
out.
But if I'm getting a needle, getting some blood taken out, I'm like, that's gross. You know, it's more freaky.
My wife yeah. was in the other room and got to watch the cameras, and
oh.
one of the camera was
yeah.
my wife at the time. We're not together anymore. One of the cameras was like big close up of my eye, so she got to see the needle go in. She got to see the laser burning stuff away. She
oh.
got to see the flap
it
get pulled away.
Freaked my wife out so much.
Yeah.
This whole concept.
And
like,
I was like, yeah,
just, yeah.
Actually, yeah, it was. Here's what happened to me. Here's how great Ativan was.
I'm the bravest
was.
Man in the world, apparently. Man about me.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, peel it back.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Shoot
just
me in the face.
There,
I don't care.
Yeah.
The very next day, I had to get PRK, which meant I had a longer healing time or something mm-hmm. like that. So I couldn't like read books or look at the computer
people's,
screen or anything, which
Republic
is every.
Of Korea.
It's That's the only
right.
thing. It's the only thing. I couldn't do anything. I basically had to lie in the dark for a few days.
So you had to go to North Korea.
So the yes, I put my I. So I absconded myself to North Korea. I was in my bedroom in North Korea, and I was like, I'm going to listen to some audiobooks throughout the day. I'll just keep
Good
my eyes
idea.
Closed, play it on my laptop. And I had never read The Da Vinci Code, and everybody was talking about it. I kind of heard it was bad, but meh. So I downloaded the audiobook for it, and
yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to listen to this. Took my Ativan. They give you extra so you don't rub your eyes the next day or freak out.
Mm-hmm.
My wife goes to work. She's like, I'll see you when I'm done work. All right, goodbye. And I start playing it. And about 10 minutes in, I'm like, this is really terrible. I'm not going to listen to it anymore. And like the guy reading it was, he was the most overdramatic. Like he was the kind of.
Say, and the guy reading it went, oh, yes, you are.
No,
and then I realized this is good shit.
That was a different drug. His performance was, he was the kind of archaeologist that women completely fell for, but he had that come hither look. Yeah. And I was just like, really? Like,
was
you're just going to go that
guy
far
who does
with
movie
it?
Trailers? He was the one. Reading.
Kind of like, but even like less
a
of
hole.
A good voice in
yeah.
a hole deep in the Sudan. And so I turned it off after like 10 or 15 minutes. And kind of the next thing that I kind of remember that day is my wife coming back and she's like, hey, honey, how was your day? And I was like, oh, it was good. She's like, did you listen to your audiobook? For about 10 or 15 minutes, but it was really bad, so I turned it off. Oh, then what'd you do? Nothing. Just, it's been 8 hours. I'm back from work. You just laid in this room doing nothing for 8 hours? I guess so. And you're okay with that? Yeah. That was it. Ativan.
What are all these?
Everything's fine.
What are all these math equations on the wall? Ah, now let me take a look. Holy cow, Jesus did live. This is, it all proves it. It's completely my.
Well, it sounds like the drug from Brave New World. That
what does the Brave New World drug do?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, well, this creates that sense of complacent happiness where everything's hunky-dory.
Well, I didn't
fine.
Have to take any, I think there was some painkillers or something I took, but I didn't take anything else. But I had to wear those Cyclops glasses for like about 2 days.
Right.
Like Cyclops in the 90s, like big glasses. Like protective plastic.
It was so you didn't get too much light.
I was thinking that you had one lens in the center of the glasses. But it's one big round lens.
But I was talking to my friend Roman about this, and he was saying, like, because he was super paranoid when he got his laser surgery done. And so gets the plastic glasses on, and the doctor's, whatever you do, do not get anything in your eyes. Okay. Going home, someone throws a baseball, hits him in the face, shatters them into like a thousand pieces. They get his eyes. Ah! So go back to the doctor. I'm like, hi, am I going to be blind? Nah, it's fine. Here, just take another pair. But he gave him the real horror story beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Like the worst thing that your glasses jammed.
Oh, man. We are laughing at his potential complete blindness.
He's fine now.
Oh, good.
He's only blind in one eye.
He had a TV series for many years. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine.
They call him One Eye.
Thank you for making me feel welcome by letting me laugh at horrible things.
Absolutely. that's our pleasure to do that.
We'd like to make our guests feel welcome.
Now, if you had the money, would you do it, Dave? Would you say?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I like wearing glasses. I really do. I don't feel like I'm... Because it really gives you the opportunity to take them off and have women say, why, Mr. Dedrick, you're beautiful. Which you don't really get if you're just walking around all the time, just looking beautiful all the time.
You've conditioned your wife to do that, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't conditioned her. I pretty much pay her. It's pretty much on per time. I have
Honey,
to pay
what's
her
the
time.
Rule?
It's per piece.
Mr. Dedrick, it's very handsome.
When I let
today.
My hair down, you say this.
That's right. When I let down my long flowing locks.
Yeah.
Yes. Everyone's staring at me like I'm serious. Like, come on, Dave. Continue saying these idiotic things. It's so
we're
strange.
We're looking at you because you're speaking.
It's like you're in a locker room.
It's the polite
room.
Way thing
come
to
on,
do.
Come on, Dedrick. Keep it up. Keep it up, Dedrick.
Well, I can look and talk at you.
Hey, if you want it to be like a locker room, I can make it like a locker room. What are you going to cry? What are you going to cry, Dedrick? Huh? Huh?
No.
Huh?
No, I'm not going
to
cry.
Why not? It's okay to cry.
It's okay. It's okay to show
your feelings. Bully. No, you got to let it out, buddy.
No, man.
I'm hitting you. You better let this out, or you're going to let this will back up in your system for years.
There
you
are really people
gotta...
way worse enough. You're going to have to toughen up.
Yeah, you really got to toughen up. Yeah. Like, let it out, brother. Anyway, I'm going to keep hitting you while I'm doing this. Come on! It's the bully who cares.
Psychotherapy.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, therapy. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
There's a market for that.
We have anything?
Well, there's bully always, therapy?
There's copyright. Always someone who's saying guys are getting too sensitive nowadays. So there's always going to be someone who's going to be like, you got to macho it up. So if there was a therapy that was, you know, involved hitting, I'm sure that someone would go for
Someone would go for that. Yeah. People who like getting hit, I guess.
I mean, that accusation.
Yeah, I guess that's a different thing.
That accusation, what are you going to do? Like, yeah, so they're too sensitive. Think that was their choice? Yeah.
Do you think that doesn't bother them when you say
Stop
that?
Stop being so sensitive. Of course. I'll just do that.
Let me also yell calm down at you. Let's see how that works.
Exactly.
Hey, relax!
Well, how can you tell if someone is too sensitive? Like what's the, like,
What
the
you
yardstick?
Do is you stack a series of mattresses and put a single pea underneath them. Bring them in and let them sleep on it.
I'm talking about emotional sensitivity, not skin sensitivity. Not
okay.
Because they're a princess and they can...
Well, because they feel it and they feel that they deserve far better than a pea at the bottom of their many, many mattresses. And that really hurts them
hurts
deep inside.
Feelings. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Princesses aren't that extremely uppity. Uppity?
Yeah, sure. That's a good use. That's probably one of the better uses of that word.
I can't sleep on this because it hurts. It's I can't sleep on this because it reminds me that my life is imperfect.
That was one of those fairy tales that's, you know... It's one of the many fairy tales, which is there's someone who doesn't look like they're worth anything.
Yeah.
But you better be nice to them because they might be a queen or a prince or whatever. That's the kind of story told by someone who looks like shit. You know, just like, let's spread this around. You know, you got to be nice to the guy because you don't know. And it turned out he was a gnome and the gnome had gold and you should da-da, so be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
I understand it also says that in the Bible. But this fairy tales, there's a lot of those told. And that was a popular theme.
It was. There was also don't trust the guy because he could be a wolf in disguise. Don't trust your grandmother.
What is the point of Little Red Riding Hood again?
Don't give information to strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Don't give out your sensitive internet password to Fishers.
So Red's problem was she told the wolf she was going to the grandmother's house.
Yeah. And the wolf is a metaphor for checking in on Facebook and Foursquare. So don't check in on Facebook and Foursquare to let the bad people know where you are. Yeah. Okay. Or they'll go and eat your grandmother and take her place.
Yes. Right. Now, the grandmother, did she survive that?
It depends what story you read.
Okay.
The Baudelaireized version, she is recovered from the wolf's stomach. The actual version, nope.
I think there's even a version where he hides her in the cupboard.
Yes, that would be the like Walt Disney style.
Much more Disneyfied version. But yeah, there's one where the woodsman saves her and then cuts open the wolf and the grandmother springs out fully alive. Yeah.
I would like it if the wolf did a little switcheroo and just like skinned himself and then dressed the grandmother as a wolf and just put her outside, you know, and just like now he's all, cause he's skinned, right? He doesn't have the old fur on him.
That's
now
right.
Looks more human. Now put on the grandma's outfit and then says, someone goes, oh, there's that wolf outside. Clearly the wolf is not around cause I see the wolf there. So, inside, grandma's got more likelihood of being grandma.
Sets it up as some Xanatos Gambit like thing, knowing that the Red Riding Hood is intelligent and knows that the wolf's going to be in there. So she bursts in the door, shoots the fake stuffed grandma with the shotgun.
That's right.
While he's hiding in the closet, skinned with a knife and jumps out.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I knew that you would know.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
There, draw that for your title card.
How come you guys aren't writing fairy tales? Because I think kids would love those these days.
There's enough of them.
Kids would eat up. Because that would, you know what that would make? Unsensitive kids. They would like have no sensitivity at all. They'd just be like, fuck you, man.
Or we'd push them all the way around to way too sensitive again because we would just break them.
Yeah.
Way too sensitive. What's kind of funny because I admire manliness. Like I admire manly men.
I know. Mm-hmm. That's why you've got because the Bounty paper towels off to your side. Really, every so often you pat that and go like,
yeah,
good on
right.
you, Bounty.
Good on you, Bounty. But I'm not really that manly myself. You know, like I admire that in men, but I have to admit that, you know.
Like after this, you'll be going to the gym and you're going to be doing some push-ups probably, right?
Is that manly?
I think keeping yourself in manly shape.
That's narcissistic. That's totally metrosexual, look in the mirror, worry about how you look.
All right, think about
is
the
my
most,
hair in the right place?
Think about the most manly guy. Who's the most manly guy you can think of? If you admire manly people, you should be able to think of a manly person.
Well, it's not really that I admire manly people. It's I admire manliness or like traits of manliness. Like,
and you think those guys don't do push-ups to get themselves, you're someone who can fix a car?
Fix a car or act in a moment of emergency. They can do something, you know, like.
I don't even ascribe that to a gender anymore, though. Manliness to me is just hairy. Like, hairy and big and muscly. Cause,
I don't even ascribe that to a gender now anymore.
Like when I married him, my wife was way better at that stuff than I was. It didn't bother me one bit.
Well, my wife can read a manual better than I can.
Yeah.
If you're a man, you don't need to read a manual.
But you did it. But you did it. You did at one point.
Are
read
you
a
saying
manual.
Men, I never
read a
manual. Men spring from the womb knowing how to clean a carburetor?
I think men spring from the womb. Well, I think that type of behavior is a fearlessness of wrecking things. There are people who are afraid of wrecking things. Like if they're on the computer and you say, oh, just, you know, press control, this, that, then they're like, oh, I don't know, because, you know, I don't want to wreck it. I don't want to erase everything on it. Like, because they don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't understand it, but I don't care. I just press things randomly, look, you know, try and figure out how it works, mess around until it works.
It's like, more ogreness than maleness, though, isn't it?
Well, that feels like there's someone they're scared of, right? That feels like there's someone they're scared of because they're scared of, like, they're flinching because they don't want anyone to come at them for breaking the car.
Maybe their dad was a manly guy and has made them afraid of wrecking things.
But it seems like then the manly guy dad would make the son too sensitive then. It feels that doesn't work.
Have you seen The Great Santini?
I have not. I've seen the okay Santini. Yeah.
My dad wanted me to be a jock, for sure, and was disappointed when I ended up being a huge nerd.
Mine wanted me to be a soccer player. Yeah, that was the kind of dream in the family, and I said a big no to that.
My dad was disappointed in my sports.
My bad eyesight, obesity, and asthma that kind of decided my fate, and then I met Carl Sagan. That was it. It was all done.
Personally or
no? Oh man! Oh, my one regret.
You just watched Cosmos.
Cosmos just made me fall in love with science. And actually, I was looking back and realizing Larry Niven was a big part of it, and we had him on my podcast.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we did VCon Live, and he was the guest of honor. And we said, "Hey, if Larry wants to be on," and so he did. He's old enough now so that he just doesn't put up with anything anymore. So he's kind of crotchety. It's really funny to listen to.
I was going to say that he doesn't know where he is. So we pretended to be PBS. I said, I'm Bill Moyers, and we just went to town.
Well, when I was researching to do that show, I was going, because you kind of forget your, at least I forget my influences, and I kind of had forgotten that I'd read basically every scrap of Niven I could when I was in my teens. And he really cemented my love of hard science fiction, that I like the science fiction that goes, okay, we're going to break the rules in a few places, but here's how the stuff actually works otherwise. Ringworld, he did all sorts of information on how the Ringworld would work and its tensile strength and how you get the day and night happening and all that kind of stuff, which is, I love that attention to detail and that kind of science. And so I was communicating to him, and I think he was like 80 years old or something, and I was like, I just want you to know, it really means a lot to me that you're on this podcast because we're so science-centric because I love science and you're like a major reason for that. And he went, okay. I just went, can I shake your hand? He's like, okay. Shook his hand, and that was it. I guess he's heard it a million times from people who work now at JPL and NASA. So here's some jerk with a podcast going, I like science because of you. All right, kid. I'm 80. I got to go to the bathroom.
You know what show I actually enjoyed more than Cosmos? And I did like Cosmos a lot.
Charlie's Angel.
A fucking A. No, it was, it was Connections.
Love it.
Okay,
James Burke.
Yep.
I think James
James Burke Connections.
That was a great show. I preferred the hour-long version. I remember they went to a half-an-hour version, which I didn't like as much.
That first season was fantastic.
Yeah,
what's the version of that they've got now that isn't very good and has too much graphics?
Engineering Connections?
It's not that. It's something that's
it's called The Bachelorette.
There's some shows
Love
on
Connection.
Now.
Love Connection.
No, but they all good jokes. All solid jokes.
The Love Connection is the one that traces how STDs go through things.
How they...
And then Bob went to the bar and got completely drunk.
I would like to follow back on some of those if I could.
Yeah. Start with the monkey and end up with the HIV epidemic.
Oh, damn, if I can remember. Anyway, it was one that watched
the stirrup
a couple
of weeks ago. That's fascinating.
There was something, though, that was ripping off Connections. Okay. We watched it. Why don't you just show Connections?
Yeah.
And they just would run the same. They'd spend a lot of money on some CGI, and they'd run that same clip six times during the episode. And it was just stop it. But back to Connections. Go.
Oh, that's all I was going to say. I really have nothing to say. What I think is interesting, though, when you talk about Larry Niven, I have a friend who's a massive science fiction fan.
Yeah.
And, you can ask him any question about science, and he can give you, the textbook definition of it, which I can't. I can give you the not textbook definition of it, which is kind of I think it's a thing where the stuff happens with the thing. And, but he loves that kind of science fiction, and I'm not that interested in that. I'm a Philip K. Dick fan.
Right.
And I just like the kind of what if, or it wouldn't be neat if something this happened, or I went into my bathroom and went to turn on the light switch, and it was on the wall, on the opposite side of the wall that I thought it was. What that means is I'm living in a different alternate reality, and why wouldn't that be cool if blah, 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 time to start typing. And I enjoy that aspect of science fiction more than the hard science. That really kind of leaves me cold.
I love all of it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will go from, I'll go from Larry Niven through to, I'm a huge Neil Gaiman fan, so, Fairies and Dream the Endless and American Gods and Complete Magic.
Yeah.
I'll take it all. As long as we say, no, this is fantasy, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And then if you fill in the reality parts with some reality, I like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun when it can just be speculative. And I love Robert Silverberg's Dying Inside. I think it's a brilliant – have you read that one?
No.
Oh, it's a brilliant novel. And it's just about about a telepath who's losing his ability. And it's just a fantastic novel. So the science fiction element is – telepaths exist.
Right.
The rest of the novel is how do you deal with that in the regular world?
Yeah.
So it's a really great, I really highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And to you too, dear listener. And, it's funny you mentioned VCon.
Dave thinks we only have one listener.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I pretty much been proved correct on that.
Hi, Gavin.
Oh, Gavin, two listeners. So I just meant in this continent.
Oh, he's,
we have one listener who's incontinent.
Okay.
The rest are outcontinent. I was with a friend. I worked on the program for VCon about 20 years ago or so. And what I thought was interesting, because I wasn't a huge science fiction fan, but I was a giant Philip K. Dick fan. And so, I know you're kind of scowling.
Okay. No.
But,
where you're going.
I had an antipathy to it based on my hatred of Star Trek. And so even though I took a science fiction, literature class in high school, because I was interested in science fiction. For some reason, I didn't like it because of Star Trek. But anyway, I like Philip K. Dick because it's sort of different than what I thought of as science fiction. But what I noticed when I was working on this program was this really real antipathy towards Dick. And there's all these like kind of articles about how terrible. Yes,
we're gonna
Dick.
Have to giggle every
Philip
time.
Philip K. Dick. Philip K. Dick.
That's kind of how I feel, actually. I have kind of an antipathy towards Dick.
Towards Philip K. Dick.
No, no, he's fine.
Oh, okay. I get where it's going. Hello, Gavin. And
sorry, man.
So I just thought it was really kind of strange because, you know, I really loved his books at that time. I was just kind of going through that phase where you're reading a whole bunch because
yep.
you've just discovered this author. And the first one I read was Martian Timeslip, which is a brilliant novel. And so you're just like, okay, this guy's great. I have to read every book I can find, which at that time was really hard because basically you had to go to used bookstores to try to find a used Philip K. Dick book, were like gold in those days.
You'd ask for them, the guy would sigh.
Well, they would keep, would keep them behind the counter because they would get shoplifted. Mm-hmm. They were just so hard to keep in stock.
By you.
Yes. Kerouac, Burroughs, you know, Hunter S. Thompson, they would all be behind the counter because they were constantly getting stolen from bookstores.
Yeah.
And so you go in and say, do you have any Dick? Now I'm giggling. Do you have any Philip K. Dick in the store? And then they'd be like, oh, they look, and they wouldn't. Or you'd have it, you know. And but you'd be looking for that, the galactic pot healer, you know, that one that was impossible to find. That you know, it took you years to finally find it.
Yeah.
At Granville Book Company.
I ended up being that way about Harlan Ellison.
Okay.
Yeah, just Deathbird Stories and read through all the short stories. And I like short stories. Let's do it. And just tried to track down everything I could.
Have you ever met Harlan Ellison?
I have not. I hear he's a tremendously, let's say, acerbic individual. I love it. I'd go toe-to-toe with him for sure. He'd call me on something and I would say, yep, and then get him right back because I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish we could just get him on the phone
now. Yeah, let's get him
fantastic.
On the phone. Hey, Harlan, we hear you're bug fuck crazy.
That was a different guy.
I don't know if he's crazy.
He was the guy who
said it. Ellison described Michael Fleischer, who's writing the
Spectre.
The Spectre, yeah, as bug fuck crazy.
And okay. That's what made the big
in the pages of the Comics Journal and resulted in a gigantic lawsuit,
which brought us Destroyer Duck. So at least it gave us that.
Yeah, that's right. Which I read. I read. I own Destroyer Duck. It's somewhere in my comic collection. Yeah. Oh, man.
And now Destroyer Duck is actually Howard the Duck. You know about the swap?
No. This sounds familiar, but go ahead and tell me.
Explain what happened then, fellas.
Okay.
Okay, Steve Gerber created Howard the Duck. Steve Gerber also created Destroyer Duck. I believe the original Destroyer Duck was drawn by Jack Kirby. Am I right about that?
Yes, I think so. And it was a fundraiser.
Yeah.
So at a later point now, of course, Gerber was not happy how Marvel dealt with, you know, creators' rights and whatever. So,
screwed him over.
At a later point, there was a crossover between Destroyer Duck and Howard the Duck. And what he wrote into the story was a thing where they disguised themselves as each other. There was a swap. So basically what's happened now is Marvel has Destroyer Duck.
Okay.
And Destroyer Duck is now actually Howard the Duck. So if you ever read any Destroyer Duck, that is Howard the Duck. The real Howard the Duck. They swap.
But they call him Destroyer Duck?
They do.
He's just going, Howard the Duck.
But it is Howard the Duck.
Does he wear the suit and smoke the cigar?
He just acts like Howard the Duck.
That is still the whole rest of the trademark.
Steve Gerber wrote both of the stories and slapped that into the backdoor thing where like he actually got his character back through a crossover. It was clever.
Yeah.
That is clever.
Since that time he's passed away, we're not having either. But Howard the Duck.
Thanks for including that in your end of your story. Why would you say that?
Because it's a happy ending in that he ended up with the rights to Howard the Duck through Sneaky Pete shenanigans.
I'm going to start doing that from now on. If I talk about Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice, then I'm going to go, and of course she's dead. She died, you know, 100 years ago. It's, you know, it's
this was a recent thing, though, to be fair.
Okay.
And I am playing as Howard the Duck in the Marvel Lego game now and quite enjoying that.
Are you?
Yes.
That is fantastic.
Yes.
That is
actually,
so cool.
You're actually playing Destroyer Duck, so it's actually not as pleasant as you think it is.
Oh, well, it depends what year this takes place in. Yeah, you're right. It's Destroyer Duck. It's fair.
There you go.
That's a fair comment. I gotta say you're correct. You know what? He looks so intelligent with the glasses. I just can't argue with this guy.
Obviously right.
You can't argue with glasses.
Now, speaking of like Harlan Ellison, someone you would like to have a guest on your show that you have not had that would be like a dream guest for you?
Oh, I shouldn't say because he's already said he will.
Oh, okay. Then forget that.
Let's see. Other than him? Yeah, we have a really big guest who said he's going to come on. I'm not going to say who it is.
Nice.
You can tell our audience.
No. Some people can guess, though.
Dr. Seuss?
No, I'll say it. I'll announce it here. Neil Gaiman has agreed to be on Plastic Soda at some point.
There you are.
Wow.
That's who I would have guessed.
That's a big announcement. Was that who you were going to guess, really?
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman.
We don't know when. We were hoping when he was in town last year to get him in studio. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. But he has said, yes, I will.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of know Neil. sort of. Well, back in the early days of the internet, I actually create, when I first learned HTML, I was like, oh, I'm going to make a web page about something I like. And Sandman had just they'd announced the Sandman comics were finishing. I was a huge fan. And I had bought his book of short stories. And I was like, oh, the thing about Sandman is this guy who's the writer. He's really good. So I'm going to make a page about Sandman and him so I can keep talking about stuff he does on the page. And it ended up becoming like the Neil Gaiman website on the internet. So much so that people would ask him, do you have an official web page? And he would say, no, I don't. But the closest thing to official is Joe Foljam's The Dreaming. So you could go to that. And eventually we met at one of his signings and exchanged emails and then phone numbers and would talk through email once in a while. And whenever he's in town, we would have dinner together and things like that.
Oh,
which
nice
is
one.
Really cool. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, me and Neil, we had dinner. It was kind of fun. Oh, how many other people were there? Oh, John Singer. And that was it. Yeah, we had sushi. And then Neil and I went to the bar together and had a few drinks and talked about comics for a while. Yeah. There, that's my name drop. That's all I got.
No, that's good. That's a good one. Name
that's
dropping.
Good. That's amazing. So who would you want on the show?
Yeah.
Have anybody
who would
show?
I want on the show? Yes. Oh, that's a good question. It would probably be someone in, you know what? Michael Palin.
Oh, he would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah. I like him because he can talk some traveling.
Yeah.
And then you can also talk some Python and you can also talk some movies.
Movies, yeah.
And he just seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah. He's a good actor.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Alex Robinson, author of what's wrong? Box Office Poison. That's my dream get.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. Love to have him on the show one day.
Okay.
So he wrote a book?
No. That's be my dream get to have him on the show.
But he wrote.
Been on the show already?
He came on the show.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Okay. My other dream get would be, I don't really know. I don't really.
One Direction.
Yes. If only One Direction.
You could get One Direction.
Let me throw it out this way.
They're hilarious.
Musician. A musician. Who would be your dream guest for a musician?
One Direction. Oh, wait, they're not musicians.
Come on, one of them plays the guitar.
Oh, see how little I know?
Yeah. During the campfire sing-along, he's actually playing the guitar. And he plays it on stage. The Irish one. I don't know. I have to really rack my brain to think.
I think that's the problem. You don't rack your brain. You think like the first thing that comes to your head.
Brian Wilson.
Boom. There you go. See, you knew it.
Yeah,
Brian there Wilson. There it is.
Who I think
we all do it from one large bed.
I think
bed.
He would be a hard person to get the truth out of, but I think it would be an interesting if you could have a really like if you could have like a real conversation with him and talk about music like in a way that about what he loves, you know, like you know what I mean? Not about, you know, gee, what too bad what happened to you in the '60s. You know, that's terrible. What a car crash that was. You know, not that, but just talk about like what he loves about music and what it means to him, and I don't know.
Yeah. I guess for me, like, I've met a lot of my heroes already, you know, people I really like, so, yeah, that's all done.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not a ginormous hero worshiper, you know what I mean? Like, I admire people, but
I guess
I'm just,
inspirations for me. I've met my inspirations, a lot of them, yeah.
Well, I don't get nervous meeting people that I admire. Like, I don't feel nervous or shy, or I don't want to approach them. I have no problem walking right up to them, because I have glasses on. So, obviously, I already tower over them.
And you look like you deserve to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I have glasses on.
I'm very shaky when I.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm very like.
Yeah,
don't wanna.
I've been with you at.
I don't like this at all.
Smoothie things.
I hate this very much.
I'm at a weird level where I'm like, I should feel weird about this, and I feel weird that I don't.
All I want to do is.
That's still feeling weird.
I want to work with these people. I don't want to be. Hi, I really enjoy your. I don't like that. I don't like being in that.
But
situation.
You don't have to say that to them. I mean, you can strike a conversation that has nothing to do with what they do.
But it's clear that's the reason that you're talking to them, probably.
Eh.
Instead, you know, it's, you know.
You can swing it.
You can, yeah.
You can make it work.
Yeah, you can. But you can feel schmuckish.
You're the one who feels that way, though. You're the one putting that on yourself.
I mean, that was the nice thing. Like, I got to meet, like, Bob Odenkirk and David Cross, who I was a huge fan of Mr. Show, and they came to do a Sketchfest show in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And, we were working together on that, and it was like, there, this is fine.
Done.
Absolutely fine. Where it got weird was we all went to, like, lunch afterwards, and the people around me were kind of fanning it up. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, I don't want to be here now. This doesn't feel right. Let's just talk about the show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what we're doing.
Can we
Let's
be
not
peers?
Talk about your past and go like, my favorite sketch was, oh, I just feel terrible right now.
Do you think they like it? Like, I'm at the part now. Do you have fans? Do you, like, occasionally have somebody go, oh, my God, you're Ian Boothby ever?
That feels weird like, to say, but yes.
But, yeah, isn't that weird?
I've been there when it happened.
There's various
cool.
Weird, when the ley lines cross, there's places on Earth where that can happen, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
I get
limited,
it too.
But I know where they are.
At the crossroads?
Yes.
That's what happens.
And don't sell your soul to the devil to learn how to play the blues. Don't do it.
That's Ian's personal advice. And also, so you don't have to wear glasses. That was his that was his contract.
Kevin's been recognized by his voice alone. He was at Stormcrow talking, and somebody came over and was like, I know you're probably not, but like, are you on Caustic Soda? And he was like, yeah, I'm Kevin. Like, I was like, oh my God, I'm such a huge fan. Yeah, we get that kind of thing. It's weird.
Yeah. Say it was covered in pus. Oh, that's what I want to hear. All right, goodbye.
Say, if Hollywood has taught me anything, now tell me a terrible pun.
That's right. Now say there were no survivors. Ah, that's good stuff. Anyway, I got to go over and eat my medieval-themed sandwich. Yeah, if I go to Stormcrow, yeah. I would probably get recognized. There's places that you would go and, like, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing. It's nothing trouble. But you know where you're going to get recognized.
But does it bother you? Like, no. I'm like, oh, man, people like what I do, like, for the first time in my life. So I still really enjoy it. So I don't mind when people fan out. And
no,
talk
I see.
About stuff.
No. And I don't mind it either. I try then to include, I try not to make it all one way though.
Yeah.
I try to be like, you know, to talk to them as much as possible. Well,
yeah.
I just want to bask. I just want to bask in that.
Real basilisk.
I'm a real basilisk. That's right.
That's right.
I like getting feedback. I'm like, what do you like? What are the good parts?
Yeah.
What bugs you?
Well, there's times where I'm like the time I do a show called Critical Hit Show, which I haven't plugged
Love
on
it.
This show. And,
I'm a big fan.
After, thanks. And after the show, after I say hi to you, then other people sometimes come up and they will want a hug or yeah. some such. And there's times where Dave's like next to me and they'll be talking about liking Sneaky Dragon and not knowing that it's Dave. And then when they find out it's Dave, they get a little gasp and they weren't prepared.
Right, right.
They weren't prepared for the other, oh, of course it, oh, I feel stupid that I didn't know your voice. And I feel, oh.
Right.
And it's really, really sweet.
Probably because I wasn't talking.
Yeah. But I'll get stuff like, there was a woman who comes to see the show and she just cornered me and went like, I've got to make something for you. What can I make
yeah.
for you? I don't know, make a cozy for the little wand I've got. Okay, and then the next time I see her, she's made this elaborate cozy with like lettering and stuff, and it's beautiful. And it's just like, I totally get the mindset of mm-hmm. that. Like, I like something you do. I want to do something for you.
Totally.
You know? Yeah.
And as long as it doesn't, I've never experienced anything creepy or bad from it, so that's all good. I guess once the bad things happen, that I get worried. But
well, something that was really
the cozy is nice.
Fun
that's
back
really
in the
sweet.
Day was Dave and I both did mini comics, and you'd send your mini comics out to people you admired, and you'd get yeah. like plugs in their comics, or they write
yeah.
you back, and you get this long letter from like a Jim Woodring, and you're like, "Do you know your Jim Woodring? There's no reason you should be writing me,
yeah.
but they care about this kind of thing,
yeah.
and that's how I feel about it now. It's like I want to, if someone's talking to me about what I'm doing, I want to know what they're doing, and usually they're doing something,
yeah, yeah,
and it's just fun. It's
yeah.
just like that's just fun to make that connection there,
yeah.
But yeah, like if I go to San Diego, you know, I'll do a signing or something, and there'll be like a lineup or some such, but. You know, luckily my wife is way more successful than me, so that keeps me humble.
Oh, that's good.
Like her line, like, oh, okay, well, there you go. That
oh, I know exactly what that's
pegs.
Like. We're not together anymore.
That's all right.
That's fine.
I'm not together with other people, too, that are very more successful than me, too.
Humble brag.
Humble brag?
Yeah,
I guess so. yes, I've broken up with someone who's very successful.
Anyway. Humble brag.
But I'm together with someone who's...
Oh, I wouldn't say successful. She's very successful. I'm just really unsuccessful, so...
Yeah. Oh, okay. Just keep it
she's on. Doing. She's doing well.
It is. I mean, nowadays, most of the connections, though, come through, like, a Facebook. Someone, like, will write you and say that they like your stuff.
Yeah.
They got a way to break the ice
yeah.
that mm-hmm. isn't just hoping to see you... and it's come up and
no, that's true.
That.
It's quite a bit different than it used to be. Whereas you were, if you're a fan of something, it was hard. It was so hard to find other fans. Like,
yeah,
I remember sending off all these little letters with international reply coupons.
Yes.
Remember those?
Yes.
Like Doctor Who fan clubs.
We've got a whole bunch of those right here.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a member of the Doctor Who Fan Club of America.
Okay, but I never got any responses with mine. I guess I send them to ones that were defunct or whatever.
I got my card. I might still have it somewhere.
I probably didn't send it to the American one. I probably sent it to the British ones. That's more authentic.
I applied. There was a Doctor Who convention down in, oh, I can't remember. It was Western Washington
Who's
University, it? I think. But Colin Baker actually showed up, and
wow.
he announced to the audience that he'd been fired. And he was really upset.
Oh.
Really, really upset. But he told us Sylvester McCoy was his replacement. So that was when we all found out. Because it was pre-internet, right?
And did you know who Sylvester McCoy was?
I didn't know. As a matter of fact, he kept saying it without the R because of his accent, Sylvester McCoy. And I was like, he keeps saying it without the R, and I don't think that's his accent.
The
Maybe
guy from Vision On?
Yeah,
okay.
Sylvester.
Whatever.
Sylvester. So I think I went back and reported it on the like little local network at, I was going to, I think, taking a summer course at UBC or something like that, or SFU. I can't remember. And I posted to the little local network, the new guy is Sylvester McCoy. I don't think there's actually an R. Like, that's how badly I heard him say it. I'm an idiot sometimes.
Little, wait, don't wear glasses.
Maybe that speech impediment.
I was back then.
Why I got fired.
Oh, well, no excuse then.
Very thick ones.
like his accent. That was the problem.
There we go.
That was the problem. So did you watch Doctor Who on Saturday night, on Channel 12?
Yeah, KVS TV after Saturday Night Live, absolutely. Yeah, recorded every single one.
Yeah, me too.
Set the VCR to record way too long because sometimes they'd go 3.5 hours instead of just two. Yeah, yeah.
I would stay up and watch them because I worked. I'd come home about 11 o'clock at night from my job.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe 11:30. It seemed I had time to make my dinner. And I would sit and eat dinner while watching Doctor Who until 2 in the morning. Great days.
Oh, I wish you guys had known each other back then.
That's the thing.
Who buddies?
No one replied with my international reply coupon. Oh, sent them all over the place. I also tried to join an XTC, the band XTC fan club, but once again, my IRC went unanswered.
Oh, did you address it, Dear God?
Dear God. That was a problem.
There you go.
Guess God probably stepped in. Yes. That's funny. My version of that album I bought so early, it didn't have that song on it.
Was it a special Christian release or something?
Well, no,
or?
It was. The song was released separately as a single and then became a hit. So they re-released the album with that song on it and took a different song off. But because I was a giant XTC fan, I'd bought the album right away. And so it didn't have that on it. So I had to buy that as a separate single from the
And nowadays
the
you just go on Facebook and like, do you want to be a fan of this? Yes. Beep. Click. Yes. Done.
You're a fan of.
I've had to start practicing integrity because of that. I'm like, hey, look, I can't like everything. I'm only going to like things if I actually like it.
I just got too many updates on things that were just like,
Yeah, I don't mind. You can turn that off and stuff. But like, for instance, like friends who ask you to like their things.
Yeah.
I full on 100% absolutely will after I've experienced it in some fashion. And then I will tell people I've seen it. And it's like Eric asked me to like Gentleman Hecklers, which but I've never seen it. And I was like, I didn't want him to feel bad, but I was like, I will totally go to your show. And when I do, I'm sure I will like it.
No, that is
like
good.
It.
That is good to have integrity. But, you're not faux liking.
But then my like means something. Yeah, that's kind of how I want to handle it.
That's too much integrity. I just ignore it. I've had like so many little notifications in my people recommending pages and stuff to me. It's kind of sad, actually.
I think a major...
If you could like completely Beatles, I'd really appreciate it.
I should. But now I know who dropped off Sneaky Dragon, and that was you. Too many notifications. He's sick of them.
Doesn't like Sneaky Dragon anymore. I like Sneaky Dragon.
Yeah, you're one of the people who liked it.
Or do you guys have a page yet, or is it just a group? You had a group for a while, and... Is it now a page? Ooh. Facebook page? Sorry, I'm getting technical. You can cut
we don't know the difference.
I think, isn't the group you have to be invited to?
Yeah.
We started the group, and then I realized that people have to be invited to, and I was just like, well, that sounds like a lot of work. So I just canned that and started the page.
Oh, okay. So you do have a page now.
Yeah.
And then we got a web page as well.
Right.
And Dave puts up things on there that are
I put
fancy.
Up with a lot. I put up with a lot on the show.
So do you think it's better now that you got that easy fandom or when you had to work for it and had a struggle and send out your coupons,
I'm of two minds because I think there was a real excitement when the internet opened people up. I mean, that was, you know, when people were excited and wanted to comment on things and talk to each other and have fan groups and do all that kind of thing. And that seems to be kind of disappeared now. And it's almost sort of everyone can do it, so everyone's kind of...
No, it all exists. It's just you don't see it, I guess.
I guess so.
Because it all exists online. Like, there are crazy amounts of fan forums all over the place.
Okay. Maybe I'm not that interested in it.
And it lets them separate as much as they want. I used to play, and I'm actually the webmaster for a company that makes this game called Legend of the Five Rings. It's a collectible card game like Magic the Gathering. Okay. And in it, it's got these different clans, like Dragon Clan and Crab Clan. Every clan in the game has their own fan forum. And they all get together and they talk almost in character, like the Crab Clan or the Defenders on the Wall. They're kind of like the what are they called? The Black Watch.
Night Watch.
The Night Watch. God, I'm so embarrassed I couldn't think of that. They're like the Night Watch in Game of Thrones in that they're protecting the entire empire from the bad guys on the other side of the wall. So they've all got these different characters, and all the players start to identify with one of the clans, and they just go off and they've got huge forums for every single clan, and then they discuss their deck strategies and all sorts of stuff, and they write their own fan fiction. No, fandom is doing great on the internet.
Yeah.
And
well,
I couldn't be happier.
We've talked about this before, and I've kind of come to the conclusion that it's better now than it was when we were kids. It's just because the access is great. Like, you know, how hard it was for us to see Doctor Who. You're interested in the show, and some guy had to sell advertising and, you know, on his own time. And you know, use his own money to put this show on so we could watch it.
Right, that's what was happening, wasn't it? Yeah. It was like a some guy working late at night at KVS TV and said, can I do this?
He sold ads.
Yeah.
Like to Book and Comic Emporium and other kind of nerdy things around Vancouver and Bellingham. And he got enough money together that he could buy the airtime at midnight to whatever time in the morning.
Now, so he wasn't a KVS employee. No, he was just a
guy who bought airtime.
Now, how did he have access to the Doctor Who's?
He paid for them.
Okay.
So he contacted BBC?
So he paid for both the Doctor Who's and the airtime.
Yeah.
And then tried to make his money back via...
I don't think he cared about that. I think all he wanted was just to...
He just wanted to share Doctor Who.
And he introduced them. I think that was kind of his kick for him, was to be able to introduce each episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
Could you do that now?
Well, you could do it anywhere you wanted to. I mean, you could do it online if you wanted to. I mean, we're now.
But
you
have to buy
the rights to
the show.
To be honest, he's kind of like the Upworthy of his day.
Yeah.
You know, he's the guy pointing at good things.
Yeah.
Going, this stuff's good, you should watch it.
Yeah.
But at least he was being honest and direct on like Upworthy.
How long do you think Upworthy is going to last now?
Now that you can block Upworthy on Facebook, hide all posts from Upworthy, they're in big trouble.
Yeah, it's that's got to be about done.
That's a vaccination. That's what that is. And you don't need everybody to get vaccinated for it to work, just a decent amount of the population.
You know, you guys, you know, when they get rid of Upworthy, you're not going to believe what happens. But what's interesting, when you say that he maybe worked at KVOS, I wonder, because KVOS also played Blake 7, which is a really obscure but great science fiction, British science fiction show as well.
I've never watched it, but I have friends who are huge fans.
I have some copies of it I can pass on to you.
Dave gave me some copies too, so maybe I'll get some too. If you come to see maybe a Critical Hit show, maybe I'll slip you a couple.
Okay.
Yeah, it's well worth watching. And it's funny because I had a friend who moved, when I was in grade 8, he moved to Canada from Britain, and he brought all his annuals with him. So he had Doctor Who annuals and he had Blake 7 annuals. Which is something we don't do here in North America. We don't have like shows where everyone, for fans of the show, they produce like a yearly collection of images and crossword puzzles and all that kind of stuff.
Comic books as well. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I remember the annuals.
Superman and Batman ones. Yeah.
Some of those had great stories. It was kind of the pre-graphic novel ability to tell a bigger, weirder story.
They would rewrite North American stories into British and dumb it down a bit, which was really weird. So you get a Denny O'Neill story and Neil Adams, but they just really just make it so much simpler that when I later was reading like the actual comics, it was like, what is this about?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that really turned me on to a lot of stuff back then.
Yeah, and so when you see it, like when you saw the spaceship, I can't feel embarrassed because I can't remember the name of
the TARDIS?
No, the spaceship in Blake 7. You're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Because I was a huge Star Wars fan.
Jezebel?
I was a huge Star Wars fan. I obviously lived sci-fi duality. I had a lot of trouble with science fiction for some reason. I was a Star Wars fan, but I hated Star Trek.
Now let's get into that for a second. Yeah. Why'd you hate your Star Trek? Like you hated original series?
Boring.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like a Gorn fight? You didn't like
dull.
Okay, you didn't like a Khan? You didn't like any of those?
Didn't see those ones. I saw a few of them, and I was just like, man, this show is the dullest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Huh.
The dullest.
That's hard to argue. I mean, I never felt that way, and I don't know how you could, but like, I can't. I mean, if you watched it and you were bored, okay.
Well, I've joked about it before. I watched the two-hour arena, the guy where he's fighting the Gorn. It's like this episode that takes like 4 years to run its course.
It's a little silly.
And then the other one I watched was, these ones I watched all the way through.
Okay.
Like I've tuned into other ones and thought, I'll just, because you always hear people talking about it. So you're like, it can't just be me. Like, am I a nut? Like, why don't I like this show? So you'll stop and you'll watch it. The other one I watched all the way through is one where, Spock mind melds with a glowing rock thing. That's
the Horta. Oh yeah,
the Horta.
No kill eye.
That one scared me.
Guys,
as a kid.
Glad you guys know the name of it.
Because it scared me as a kid. It was one of the only ones I watched, and I went, "I'm not watching this no more." That Horta's killing people.
That was the Devil in the Dark.
Yeah,
it's
horrifying.
Funny. Like it bored me to tears. But it's weird is that I could enjoy Doctor Who. It's so strange.
But the miners were getting killed by like this unknown entity in the mines. Like, wasn't that mysterious and
amazing.
Exciting?
Amazing.
My dad loved the show, and so for some reason, I guess I associate it with, like, he likes sports. His show's dumb. I don't like it. Watch Battle of the Planets.
See, that's Battle of the Planets was good.
Oh, remember how much we loved that? Have you watched it lately?
Look, I don't need to watch it lately. I can watch... isn't there a movie now out?
There was a live action one, apparently. I haven't seen it.
I've seen the trailer. It looked okay.
Yeah. But when DVDs were big, I bought the Battle of the Planets DVDs thinking, I loved this as a kid, and then I watched it. It is terrible.
Okay, but then you can, of course, watch The Gatchaman and go like, oh, that's not bad. And then you can watch G-Force, the series. Have you watched G-Force, the series?
They all came on the DVD, actually. You could watch the versions. Yeah.
What's G-Force?
G-Force is the even more dumbed-down version.
Yeah.
What was the one with the Argo, with the battleship, spaceship Earth, or battle... Remember that there was like a battleship, but it fired a giant beam out of the front of the...
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Just
what was
talk
the show
about
called?
We
was
watched,
it Star
we
Blazers?
We marathoned...
Star Cruisers?
Star Blazers?
Star Blazers. Maybe that's
oh,
what it was.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of a different one then. Star Blazers. I was thinking
I never
Robotech.
Oh, no. Not Robotech.
Okay. Robotech did have the main gun. Like, fire the main gun off the thing.
I remember we marathon watched Robotech for a while because we had like all these
I think
VHS
you did. I don't think I did.
I think you watched a bit
did
of
I
it with
watch
me.
It?
Yeah, you watched a bit of it.
Maybe I did. I don't remember at all.
Yeah, we were like, well, what happens to Min-May? And we all were like, we didn't like Min-May because she would always like sing and like, that's enough of that crap.
Who girly sings? Stuff. So we like
funny.
Manly
I,
things.
I have absolutely no memory
we,
of this.
We binge watched that till we were sick, I believe.
We, like, we can make him remember. Maybe. To be in love. Must be the greatest dream that a girl can dream.
Not ringing
no.
the bell.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew,
pew, pew, pew.
Not even
pew.
You singing that show with your head on my shoulder is reminding me of that song. But thanks, right. Thanks for that, though. I appreciate it.
Now, I remember Robotech being pretty good. Like, and it had good cliffhangers, and you had to, like, keep watching it. And we borrowed the tapes from our friend Bruce at the time. Yeah.
He was a major fan.
And as cheesy as it was, some character development going on in the background
and
behind
then,
the fights.
And then there was a spin-off, not spin-off series, but there was a second series, which then got confusing, and there was giants falling in love with like regular-sized people.
Yeah.
Like, will this work? I wish you could shrink me. I don't know. I love you. I don't know.
It did get confusing. Apparently, those were completely different things, like not meant to be in the same canon.
Yeah,
and
but
then
they
got
shoved those
and,
together and like, just jam them together, yeah.
Well, I guess because they can sell it under the same title.
Yes.
Just like,
yeah,
can we,
yeah.
Can we combine Star Wars and the Black Hole? Yeah, we'll just go. Well, now that Disney owns Star Wars, perhaps they will have a crossover with the Black Hole, finally.
That's funny,
the one we've wanted.
They'll rename it the Kessel Run, because the Kessel Run goes past the mall, which is a giant black
they're
hole.
They're not doing the Han Solo origin movie, thank God. But if they did, you know they were going to show the Kessel Run. You know that was going to be the big thing in there.
They could still do it.
I would
They're not going to do it.
I like the theory that I've read very recently, which is that he's totally talking out his ass.
Oh,
who's that? Who?
That Han Solo is talking on his ass when he says, we made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Oh, okay.
And if you look at Obi-Wan, he totally rolls his eyes.
Yeah.
He goes, like, that's a ridiculous thing.
Because, you know, parsecs aren't a measurement of distance.
Exactly. Yeah. He knows that the guy is just going, blah, 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 these idiots don't know anything.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan's like, whatever, we need the ship anyway. It's fast enough.
That's probably pretty,
and
pretty
I like that. So if they did it and they just do the Kessel Run and it's like, that's 12 parsecs long, whatever.
I just watched the film for the first time since 1977, a couple weeks ago.
Star Wars?
Yeah.
Actually, maybe that's the thing. Maybe the Kessel Run is 12 parsecs long. Why and so he was like, yeah, we did a marathon in 26 miles. And Obi-Wan goes, gah.
That's possible.
That'd be good if everyone reacted to Han Solo like that. Ugh.
Yeah, okay.
He's kind of a loser.
I love you.
He
I
is.
Know. Ugh.
That's the fantastic. Yeah. Well, he goes
the
chasing
the only time
them.
You were cool
whatever.
Was when we reduced your body temperature to minus 400 Kelvin. That was it.
He's all like, whatever.
I know.
I know.
Now.
I worked once.
Yeah, so she's seen her kiss a Wookiee, and he can arrange that, because he's a Wookiee pimp. Now. You saw Star Wars. What brought you back to... Oh, first of all, what version did you see? Did you see the new...
Unfortunately, I saw, like... I didn't realize
fancy
this.
Fancy pants.
I got the Blu-ray one, and so...
Okay.
It was... The first film is horribly, obnoxiously changed in lots of ways that make no sense.
Yeah.
Like, things like a dinosaur walking in front of the camera while the characters are... like, the classic scene of the Imperial Trooper coming up and saying... You know, we're checking out people or whatever like that. This is not the droid you're looking for. Half the scene is obscured by a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Like, who is thinking this? Yeah. And then there's stuff.
The dinosaur looks at the camera and goes, sup?
All I can think is that the guy responsible for tweaking the stuff that was there fucked up horribly and, like, wrecked the original files and was like, I'll just make a big thing, walk in front of it.
Yeah, maybe.
I just thought when I saw him go by, what's that dancer's name? $500,000. That's his name. There he goes. And you enjoy that, everybody?
That was fuck you, poor people. That's the name of that dinosaur.
But there was another...
I'd rather spend $500,000 blocking part of this beautiful scene than feeding the hungry.
There's another sequence where they have, like, another dinosaur thing, and there's, like, two characters and one falls off. And then, and you're like, what's this? Why is there slapstick in the movie at this point? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you're told this place is like a foul place where, you know, there's no good that ever happened.
The movie's for kids, you know? I just want to get it for kids.
Well, we've established it's not a foul place at all.
Well, but, yeah, but I, but it's
at least, you know, Mos Eisley is.
They
not.
Introduce it that way, and then it's full of like comedy moments of these guys falling off a dinosaur. Boing.
That's right. Maybe that's Obi-Wan telling you exactly how slapstick the entire universe is. This is the, you'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. And it's not so bad. Well, the rest of the universe is like clown college. Yeah.
Maybe what he meant was this is what I mean. There's slapstick going on.
That's right.
Like, this is, people think this is comedy.
Yeah.
Quiet, you knuckleheads.
That's right. Wow.
So Obi-Wan, he had his friend Liam Neeson the whole time in the cave hanging out with him. Is that
as a blue glowy?
Yeah, I guess so. Blue glowy buddy hanging out there.
I think it depends how you die, isn't it?
Well, okay. The end of the, I know you I don't count the prequels, but the prequel ends with like your friends come back. He's found out how to come back, and you're gonna
There's that one scene of I'd better tell him how to make blue glowies. Like, that's it. It's like, oh shit, we forgot to say how that blue glowy thing happens. We'd better. And there's that one scene with Yoda going, your master, and blah. And I was like, could you have shoehorned that in any worse? It was terrible.
Yeah, those films don't exist for me.
That's fine.
Yes.
But the cartoons do, right?
I don't, never seen
the droids cartoon does.
Not seen them.
All right. And the Ewoks cartoon
haven't
does.
Haven't seen it.
I have another announcement related to this.
Okay, sure.
I tend to collect domain names for fun, and I own fuckyougeorgelucas.com.
Oh.
And it has content.
You heard it here first. It really has content.
Yeah.
So go to www.fuckyougeorgelucas.com.
I have this little dream.
It's got some stuff on there all written by Neil Gaiman.
It's just me ranting about the bullshit that George Lucas has done.
Okay.
Although at the very end, it's the final post is actually thank you, George Lucas, because when he sold it, he was announced he was giving the $4.29 billion to charity. And you
got to give
can't
him a,
stay yeah, mad at him that.
That's right.
Okay.
That's enough karma that makes you a big blue glowy
you,
later.
You win, I'm going to stop. But I've kept it up, yeah.
I'm sure he's not a terrible person, but he seems he seems like, I don't know, I just reread it's a book, I can't remember the author's name, but it's called, it's his journal during the making of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And you know this one? He's kind of
haven't read it.
He's kind of, he's like the PR flack on the shoot, and mm-hmm. So he's there, a lot of stuff. He's in Norway during the Hoth shooting,
okay,
and then he's back at Pinewood or Elstree, whatever. I think it was just filmed at Elstree, and he's there for a lot of stuff. He interviews all the main actors a couple times. He talks to George Lucas quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting during the George Lucas is this really passive aggressive like anger that the movie's behind schedule and he could shoot it faster than Kirshner was. And he was really upset. You can kind of tell. He's not saying it, but he's upset at how behind schedule they are and stuff like that. Which wasn't necessarily Kirshner's fault. They decided to start shooting in a place where they had like the worst snowstorm in the history of the area. And so everything got backed up because they couldn't film anything on this big giant glacier in Norway. That wasn't Kirshner's decision to film there. And it already put the film behind schedule. The other thing was, it's interesting, there's a sequence where he puts a mic on Harrison Ford.
Hmm.
Or sorry, he puts a mic on Irvin Kirshner, the director. And so you hear Kirshner working with Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford, pretty with Harrison Ford for that sequence where he's frozen in the calcinite.
Carbonite.
Colgate, take me away. Anyway, I knew it was calcinite.
Carbonite.
Carbonite.
I knew it was calcinite. It's
carbonite.
Okay.
Carbonite.
Carbonite.
It's like carbon with an ite on the end.
Carbonite.
So
Dave, carbonite.
And so you hear them. I hear them working out like motives and stuff like that. And like that's when Han Solo suggested that he just say, "I know." Like,
yeah.
She says, "I love
the
you."
The original line is, "I love you," and he said, "I love you too."
Yeah.
That's what George Lucas wrote. Good job, George.
Well, no, it wasn't George. It was Lee Brackett and Larry Kasdan.
Who wrote
Kasdan.
The laser breath line?
I don't know.
It would have been, well, okay.
Because,
so,
by the way, laser breath.
They don't fire lasers.
Okay, well,
they have blasters.
One problem. Yeah, there's no lasers.
Should be blaster breath.
Number two, lasers are just light. That'd be fine. Your breath would be fine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, your breath smells like a beam
compliment.
Of light.
What, you can't take a
terrible.
Compliment? You can't take a compliment?
Yeah, laser breath. What the crap? That's like a bad Transformer name. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, so George Lucas wrote like a detailed, detailed, whatever the word is.
Manifesto.
Essay?
Pressee of the film.
Oh,
and he gave it to Lee Brackett to work on. Now, Lee Brackett was quite old. She wrote, oh, God, my memory's gone. The Big Sleep. She wrote The Big Sleep for Humphrey Bogart.
That's, okay.
So she worked for a long time. She wrote The Long Goodbye for Robert Altman. She did a lot of like great films. And so she was hired to do Empire Strikes Back. Unfortunately, she passed away near the end of the writing. And so some of it was rewritten by Lawrence Kasdan, who did like The Big Chill and movies like that. And also worked on the other Harrison
Ford movies. Stop trying to remember things. Really dragging this show down. Stop it. Just stop remembering things and just tell the story.
In order to tell it, I have to remember things. So,
of course, remember his co-star was a murderer.
So what I heard was that there was no mention in George Lucas's script of who Darth Vader was in relation to Luke.
Yes.
So that was Lee Brackett's. She's the one who created that as motive for what was going on. So why were they connected? Like, why would they come back together again? There's no reason for him to pursue.
Right.
The characters.
It's odd though, because Vader is Dutch for father. So people, the Dutch were like, oh yeah, of course that's his father.
Yeah. You're the Dark Father.
Dark Father. But I don't know how much of that was.
Then that would be, I guess he'd also be the Light Father because, Scott, oh wait, go ahead. Continue on with your lives.
Light Father is after he went on a diet.
That's true. I'm sorry. I was then connecting like, I'm gonna pull a Dave here and go like I forget the name of the character, but it's like something. So many names were sort of taken from the New Gods, right? Like Luke Skywalker, and then there's like something Lightbender or whatever. There was
a lot of names.
There's a lot of names that were very similar to Jack Kirby's New Gods.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And of course, Darkseid was the villain in that, and it's like the Darkseid is over here. Mm. Darkseid's very similar to a little Darth Vader.
There's
a lot of sun business going on, a lot of stuff. Anyway.
Well, I think Kirby was drawing from the same kind of resources or ideas.
Yeah,
Lucas was using Campbell.
His own imagination, and so was
Lucas. Well, actually, the Lensman series is the big
thing that
they drew from.
And they were, and the whole idea of the mythological, that Joseph Campbell stuff. Well, George Lucas is connected to that. At the time, he connected to that. So
That almost,
you're not buying that?
Well, yes. I mean,
retroactively.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he was like, oh yeah, that's what I meant
to
do.
That's what I meant. Yeah, totally. I feel a little bit like that too.
The Hero's Journey was totally in my mind, even though he hadn't written it yet.
It's possible. I mean, but he talks a little bit about it in the interview with this Ellen, whatever his name was, who wrote this book during the interview. So, I mean, that's the second film on. Maybe he is projecting back. I mean, because when you're writing unconsciously anyway, so you can incorporate lots of elements that you're not aware of at the time.
Yeah.
You're doing your Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, or Flash Rogers and Buck Gordon, whatever you're doing. You know, you're throwing a little of that into there. But it did feel like, from what I've heard, is like there was a lot of lucky luck along the way with people making up stuff. And then all of a sudden, well, of course he meant that. Like, did he?
No, you're right.
And then, unfortunately, basing three movies on, you know, a 10-second conversation in the first film, maybe not the best idea in the world. Let's just never do that again.
Yeah, it's like looking back on some good improv and then realizing you can stitch together your kind of random jokes into like an amazing little narrative.
Or even
because you fix it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you on that. Yeah. Or do the bullshit I do on our other podcast, Completely Beatles, which is I will look at the album and I kind of examine the lyrics. And it's like, oh, here's the story this album's, covering.
Okay.
And it's like, clearly this is happening, to which Dave always goes like, oh, they weren't meaning that at all. I know they weren't meaning it, but you can read it like this quite easily.
It is,
and once I've said it out loud, it's now in your head, and it's like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
This was the album where this happened, led to this.
Mm-hmm.
This connects to this album. Yeah, you can make those. It's like, we should do a show, guys, called Connections.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. How the syrup became the computer. Well, I think that I think you're right in a way, and I think that it's funny when you make those connections.
Small victory.
When you make those connections, it works better than actual albums that are supposed to be connected. Like when you describe, like, with the Beatles, it makes more sense than Tommy, which is actually supposed to have a story to it. But the story makes no sense at all. Like, you cannot find a story in Tommy, you know, that makes any kind of coherent sense. Whereas an unconsciously put together song cycle has more coherence than this, you know, incoherently put together song cycle.
That just reminded me of a really stupid thing the other day I was thinking, which was, I was thinking of like Pinball Wizard, and I was thinking of the Pinball Wizard fighting a pinball orc. Just the whole thing is basically cool.
Pinball Orc's weapon is just a huge club that looks like a big shiny metal ball.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bonk.
All he does is tilt.
Tilt.
He just survives by tilting. Now, David, how are we doing for time?
I have no idea because I don't have my... I thought you were doing the thing. We're probably really late.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up.
Because this young man, he's got stuff to do.
What I'm saying is I'm sick of Joe now.
I'm not young, but thank you.
He's got so many websites. He's got Neil Gaiman on speed
fuck
dial.
Fuck you, George Lucas.
Not anymore, sadly.
He's pissing off
Steven Spielberg.
Larry Niven.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Larry Niven.
He was it was completely
Ellison.
Neutral.
Fuck you, Harlan.
I will piss off Harlan Ellison at some point. I don't know how. I love him, but I'd be great.
Well, you'll
to have
tell
him
your friend David here doesn't care for Star Trek. That's what you'll say to him.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
It's like, and he'll go like, even my episode, the greatest episode of all. Yep. It's like, but tell him I wrote it, and he'll go, he knows Harlan.
He knows.
That son of a bitch.
That's right.
I'll sue his ass off.
I'm just gonna punch him. I'll punch through him. He said that one time.
He would punch through a person?
He described it.
Because he used to fight ghosts.
He had described an assault he made on a... He described an assault that he made on a fellow science fiction writer who was asthmatic. He was very proud that he didn't just punch him, he punched through him.
Through an asthmatic.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Just took his breath away. Good for him. Do you ever see the movie Punisher Warzone?
Why would I?
Because he actually punches through a guy's face at one point, and you just go, oh, that's what it would look like.
Oh.
Okay, it's, you know what?
Well, if it's ever on Netflix.
It's my favorite Punisher film of all the Punisher films.
It's got the guy from Rome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. And
when did it come out?
Was
it three or four, years ago or maybe five?
Was it straight to Pirate Bay?
No, it was in theaters.
It did okay, and people were like, yeah, that was pretty good Punisher movie.
Yeah, it was all right.
Unlike that Punisher movie sucked like all the other Punisher movies. Yeah.
I saw
and then retroactively people go, but there was those scenes.
It's, yeah.
You know, and I'm a fan again. I'm a fan of the Punisher movie with Tom Jane. Is that his name?
Thomas Jane, yes.
Thomas Jane?
I think so.
I love just like that he buried this one idea forever, you know, which is the old, my cousin got shot, or my wife and I got to avenge them. I love the family reunion where everybody he's related to is in one area, and then absolutely every relative, no matter how remote, is there, and they all get killed, and he's got to avenge everybody. That's fantastic. That's top that. Top that, you bastards. You can't. Well done. Well done, movie. And then they can't really top it because he's fighting John Travolta. So
you need to kill all of his close relatives and everybody between him and the throne of England. So he becomes King Punisher.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, King Punisher. I'm not against that. Do you remember when he died and then was fighting demons for a while?
Nope.
Oh, well, he was for a while. And then it was great because, like, he basically heaven made a deal with him. It was like, well, we can't take you up here because you're a real bastard. But if you fight demons, we can sort of take some stuff off your record. And he was like, all right. So he went. So he came back to Earth and he's shooting demons instead.
Was this in the mid-90s?
It was 90s-ish. Yeah. And then he got brought back by Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon. And his thing was, those angels made a deal with me. I didn't like it, though. So now he's not doing it no more. The end. That's the end of that. And he just throws a guy off a roof. Just ties a guy up and throws him off a roof. And that begins the new Punisher stuff.
It punctuates.
By the way,
it's an exclamation mark in a statement.
Is anyone calling a dog right now?
Oh, it might be me. I think my parking has ended.
Okay. Well, we got to get to... That is nails on a chalkboard. All right, everybody. If you want to come see me at the Critical Hit Show, that's last Wednesday of the month, you might see Joe there as well.
Oh, yeah.
He might be in the audience.
Yeah, definitely.
If so, why not buy him a popcorn?
I'm on the guest list, right?
Yeah, we can...
There you go.
We'll talk. We'll talk. Buy him a popcorn.
Now you are.
Buy him a beverage. Maybe you'll see Dave selling a t-shirt there.
I'm on the guest list, but they never can find my name.
Oh.
Might we be selling some shirts there at the Critical Hit?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah. No, no, yeah.
All right. So if you want to buy...
Yes.
If you want to buy...
I said yes!
Okay. If you want to buy...
Do it live!
All right. Is David M. back in the studio? Or are we just screaming and getting me evicted from this place? We'll bring some Sneaky Dragon shirts there if you want to like buy one from the person who designed them.
Yes.
Or we might have some buttons. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. Buttons are hard.
I'm going away this weekend, so I'm really kind of
squished for time. And listen, let me tell you, there's nowhere in Portland that'll make a button.
What the bleep? I'm not bringing all my stuff down to Portland to work on buttons.
All right. If you live in Portland, why not look around the streets and see if you can see Dave?
If you live in Portland, yeah. Well, let's meet up at Powell's.
Yeah. Get some books. Yeah. Anything you want to plug, Joe?
CausticSodaPodcast.com. I think our fundraiser will be finished by the time this goes up, but we're doing a fundraiser.
It's Saturday.
When does it end? When does it end?
At the very end of this month. So maybe people
will then it will be up.
Okay.
It goes up this Saturday.
Oh, okay. We're doing a fundraiser on Indiegogo for season 5.
Sorry, what's that? Sorry, no, go ahead, Joe, please.
We're fundraising. It's the first time we're actually ever asking for money, and we've got special fundraiser shirts and buttons, and we'll do doodles for you, and we're even selling some big ticket items. Like you can do a gaming night with me and the other Caustic Soda hosts.
Oh, fun.
And we'll get together and play board games or role-playing games or whatever you want because you're giving us a lot of money. So
if we'll what's the website again?
CausticSodaPodcast.com. And there's a link from there to our fundraiser because that's an Indiegogo URL that's hard to remember.
Yes. Yes, URLs are hard to remember.
We're also on iTunes. And if you just Google for Caustic Soda, we're the number 2 hit behind Wikipedia for sodium hydroxide. We beat Dow Chemicals. Dow Chemicals Caustic Soda page can suck it.
You're going down, Dow. That's what we're saying.
Or pay for advertising.
Huh? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And if you want to go to our Facebook page, we'd appreciate it. SneakyDragon.com is another thing. We got, you know how the world works. We're also on Stitcher. If you're listening to Sneaky this, though, stuff. You've already found a way of downloading it.
That's
so
right.
Am I giving you a second way? Maybe to your friend who's scared of iTunes and goes like, I don't care for that Apple core.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Control. Then what you want to do, give them the old Stitcher link and listen to it that way.
Yes.
Anything else, David?
Catch us on Snitcher.
Yeah, Snitcher, where we rat out other podcasts.
Rat out other podcasts.
Yeah. Let me tell you what those guys on Stop Podcasting Yourself are doing. What I'm saying is, by the way, guys, the West Ender is having their kind of best podcast kind of thing.
They keep winning.
Yeah, they keep, but those guys keep winning. And frankly, they will.
Yeah.
But if you want to, you know, are you usually second?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they're going to be second. There's still a hole there for third. And what I'm saying is, slip Sneaky Dragon in there. So
yeah,
WestEnder.com, go vote for us.
We're number 3. Why try harder?
Exactly.
That's our motto. Actually, this is my motto all the time. I don't even need the number 3 to why try harder.
Exactly.
Fuck it.
Well, thank you very much for listening. Joe's over there. Dave's over there. I'm over here. I'm Ian. And we appreciate you listening. It's been a treat having you on the show.
Thank you.
And now enjoy the rest of your day.
Please do.
Okay.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Say hi to Dave if you're in Portland. Buy him a donut. Dave will have to draw on the title card, so just keep talking about very difficult things.
Very
to
difficult
draw.
Things to draw.
I'm a big stained glass window fan. All the details?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just talk about stained glass windows the whole episode, so there's no way you can't. Problem is, he'd do it.
What's that?
And,
no, I won't, because I'm going down to Portland on Friday, so I will not be doing a complicated title card at all. This is going to be a cutout. Sorry, folks.
Stained glass cutout.
Is this going to be a cutout? Well, a stained glass could be kind of fun to draw, actually.
There you go.
It's pretty tempting. Fuck.
It's how we get you.
I know.
It's how we get you.
I know.
Was this the place that Torin split for a while with some people?
No, Torin was across the hall. Oh, okay. Hall.
I never did visit him when he was here.
Why would you?
Yeah. Well, it's not like he's like, come see what I've done. He's like, yeah, I drew a bunch of stuff. Okay. Can I see it? Oh, I'll put it on my website sometime.
Oh. I'm in a band. Oh, yeah. Can I listen to that? No.
Yeah. You'd think he'd tell their band's webmaster more stuff. Eh.
He is a Renaissance man. Keeps his light under a bushel.
He's a Renaissance.
Yeah?
He's a secret Renaissance man. Secret Renaissance man. Mm-hmm. Secret Renaissance man. Doing all those paintings while riding a unicycle. Down, down, down. Because unicycles are Renaissance.
Strangely, Tom doesn't ride unicycles. It's the kind of thing you'd think he would do.
Really? You sure he doesn't ride a unicycle?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Even when he had the long hair? Because it looks like with the long hair he would have rode a unicycle for a brief period.
That's kind of physical activity. Torin doesn't go for that.
Okay.
It's
strictly...
I can't... Yeah. Now I'm trying to think of physical activity that Torin enjoys. Like, not that I have much. Maybe road hockey. That's about it. My one vice.
Yeah, but, well, that's fine.
I don't think road hockey is considered a vice, but okay.
The way I play this.
That reminds me of a story that's pretty humiliating, which I one day tell on Sneaky Dragon.
Save it.
Sure.
Save that gold.
Okay, it's episode 112. That means that you are the...
That's why I was asking the last name. Okay. I'm going to get it wrong, by the way.
Just say full and then basically Jim without worrying about the I, and that'll probably
the
do
full
it.
Gym.
Full gym.
So I'm thinking like, am I paying for Fitness World and I'm getting that like one little area? Yeah. No.
No, part. You're full gym. Full gym, yeah.
But less, you only get it for a month.
The I.
And then you're back to that little stupid corner.
I have a friend who called me Mr. Empty Jam a lot.
Okay, I can't hear any more bullshit like that. I gotta just hear full gym.
It's fine. I've heard Folgers. People add R's in there.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know
what I'm trying not to say is Folgers roast. That's right in my head.
Because you're gonna
the
add
best
Folgers.
The part of waking up is full gym in your bed.
Huh? Officer?
Hey! How's what you get here? Actually, it's kind of good.
I am very awake now, I've got to admit. You being in my
this
bed.
Is the best part!
The rest of your day will be a nightmare.
Okay, you guys,
yeah.
Either crowd the mic,
okay,
or don't crowd the mic.
Oh, okay.
How's this?
I'm so used to crowding the mic, that's the problem.
That's fine, I'll stay I don't right mind here. If you crowd the
is
mic.
Is this a good level?
I'll probably try and stay about here.
Ian is okay.
Okay.
Because you could hear him if he was at the door.
Okay,
right.
Yeah.
Right, I am a loud man.
Okay.
Me, you
I'm
cannot
used to
hear
dealing with
anywhere
Kevin.
Near.
Alright, so I'll get used to, I won't unplug anything. I'm all tangled up here.
You can move this out a little bit.
Yeah, you get yourself comfortable.
Alright.
And don't worry about looking at Ian, I don't know. No. I've never seen how you guys have your setups. So.
Well, a big thing that we notice with other people is, like, when you're talking to people, you want to look at them, and if I do this, it's going to fuck up, so I'm a big head swiveler.
What I found when I was doing your show was that everyone was doing this, they're looking at their...
Yeah.
It seems in 1952, an eel raped a baby.
Yeah. Well, we don't know who put the eel there. It was involved.
You have to add the... I like how the tapping paper is that part of it, too. Just to prove that this is factual.
Gentlemen.
Tap, tap, tap. I edited those parts out.